But we start in Manor Hamilton in Leitrim this morning with a new pop-up museum that tells the stories of women from 1850 until 1950. It's part of the Leitrim Women Through Time project, which is run by the North Leitrim Women's Centre, which is shining a light on what they say is a neglected part of our history, the everyday lives of rural women. Well, I went up there one beautiful morning during the week to meet one of the organisers, Donna Gilligan, and she showed me around.
So we're here in the heart of North Leitrim. We're in Manor Hamilton in the centre of the town, and we're at the farmers market at the moment, where we have some great local people selling some beautiful produce.
And we're going to go into what's called the Bee Park Community Centre. This is where your pop-up museum is taking place.
So today we're holding our pop-up museum here in the Bee Park Centre. And this is kind of a unique project because we're putting together a pop-up women's museum of rural women's history, which we think is really important.
So we've come in and it's a lovely, very charming, old-fashioned hall. It's coloured orange at the top, pink walls at the side. There's a lovely stage there with red velvet curtains. And here is the pop-up museum, and we have tables and tables of objects. Talk to me a bit about where these objects come from and what do they represent?
We put out a call for local people who had objects that represented rural women's history, and people came forward to us with objects that we could put on temporary display in the museum. We find that particularly rural everyday women are certainly absent. They're not really considered interesting enough, really, for a lot of recording in history. And we feel, I suppose, as ordinary rural women ourselves, that it is a very important part of our history, particularly as women. And if we don't record them now, they could be lost to time.
The exhibition centres on 1850 to 1950. The shadow of the famine must have really loomed large.
Yes.
For women, the act of just feeding the family being a struggle in itself.
So post-famine, an awful lot of single women would have left Leitrim, and they would have gone to England, to America, to Canada, and the women that were left behind would have really struggled to feed their family. And we kind of forget that while, yes, a man would have gone out to work and the woman would have run the household involved probably running a farm, making clothes, it involved cooking, it involved cleaning.
And is there evidence to show that women at that time would have had any kind of control of the home economy, control of the finances in the home?
There's not, no. Generally, the standard at the time would have been that the man would have been in charge of the household economy. Small things like the egg money that women would have had would have been the only money that they would have had in their hand. It would have been kind of the societal view at the time was that the man was the head of the household, and he would have looked after the money as well.
There's a book here as well that caught my eye there, and it's open at a section called How to Be Your Own Plumber.
Yes, it's frankly feminine.
What makes a pipe burst? And so little sections like that, dealing with overflows, points to very, very practical advice.
Yes, so this is basically a household manual designed as this is all the information a woman needs to run her home. A section on beauty, dress sense, manners up to date, which is very important, personal relationships. So there's one on happy with life, happy with people, on being a woman,
and secrets
of sex appeal. Yeah. So let's have a look at that.
Imagination in marriage.
Quarrelling.
Quarrelling. Your husband, your money and you. Mother and daughter jealousy. And
jealousy.
Then
here, yep.
Confidence. All in good time. Loneliness in a sense. God, they should just republish
this for
the rest of us.
It really covers birth to death, really.
Yeah. It's a sort of how to be.
How to manage everything. How to, basically how to run your household and make sure everything is running okay.
Morning, folks. Morning, Andy. How are you?
What's your name?
I'm Maureen Keeney, Manor Hamilton.
Just tell me a bit about your involvement in the Western Button factory.
The factory opened in 1937. A group of businessmen in the town who put a whole lot of money together to get it started.
How many people were employed?
At the peak, probably about 40.
Which is a lot.
Which was a lot.
And of the 40 employed, how many would have been women?
Most of them, what I meant, the majority were women. Delighted to get the work.
And the buttons here in front of us as part of this exhibition, they're absolutely gorgeous. What are they made of?
They originally made the buttons from a Brazil nut, Caroço it was called. So then they discovered that there was a material called casein, which is a byproduct of milk. And North Cork, a creamery there, manufactured this casein, and it came in sheets like plastic. Then they brought that and they could colour it and cut it and polish it and dye it and
That's extraordinary. So it was a byproduct of the dairy industry.
Yeah, so it was so if you think about it, like the money that set up the factory was local, the people employed were all local, the material was Irish.
Yeah. And were you involved at all when you were younger?
The only way I was involved was that Eileen McGovern, who was in the office for years in that factory and ended up being a manager, she lived across the street from us. And because my mother was a widow and she was always looking for a way to make a few bob, there was a thing going on in the factories that they sent out cards with buttons and got people to sew the buttons onto cards and gave them, really, I suppose it was a pittance, but it was money. So Eileen came to our house with cards and buttons and said to my mother, you know, maybe you and the girls could sew on some buttons at night, which we did for a very short time because we absolutely hated it as children because you had to follow a pattern.
Yeah, I can see it here. Yeah, so you've got the card and you've got the buttons on it. And if you turn the card over, I mean, it's a very distinctive pattern.
It is a distinctive pattern. And you had to be very strict about it.
And your mother was widowed at what age?
She was widowed at 36.
Wow. How many kids?
Four.
Did your mother, in her later years, ever speak to you about what it was like for her to suddenly be left with four children aged 36 at that time?
I think when I spoke to her, she said in the earlier years when we were small, her main concern was to rear and educate her children. And she hadn't time to even miss my father in many ways. And she always said later in life, when we were grown up, you know, this is when I'd love to have your dad and we could go here and there.
So what's your name?
Andrew Redican.
And we are standing in front of a photo of your mother, Mary Alice Redican, who was born in 1905 and died in 1989. And she had a particularly unusual job, didn't she?
My mother was a bone setter.
Now, for people who don't know what a bone setter is, what does a bone setter do?
Well, if you broke or fractured an arm or a leg or dislocated a hip or dislocated a shoulder, my mother did the job. She was able to know with the feeling in her hands where there was a break or if there wasn't a break.
And so this is sort of an older name for what we'd probably call an osteopath today. Would that be it?
Well, you see, she did plastering and all, you know. So there were no orthopedics in hospitals.
Yes. Yeah.
So the bone setter was the person who solved the problems.
And she, your mum, did all this while running a household of eight children and also the chores of the farm as well.
Yeah, she did all that. My father was a farmer, but my father was also an assistant to my mother. But she had a bad accident herself.
What happened?
We were travelling to Mass. She was travelling to Mass, but she decided she'd go on a bicycle. We're coming down a hill to a crossroad. My mother just happened to pass us at that point. And next thing, we heard the jam of brakes. They were carrying my mother.
So she'd been knocked over.
And she had several brakes. She was brought home. And my oldest brother was 16. And my mother guided him to set all the bones.
Okay, yeah. Did she enjoy her life?
She did. When my mother and father were 50 years married, and my wife, Irene, and my mother were at the sink washing dishes, Irene said to her, "How do you think life went for you? Would you do it all again?" "I would do it all again. I love my life," she said. And you know what? Be quite honest with you, over time, we didn't think so.
Andrew Redican talking there about his remarkable mother, Mary Alice Redican. And it was really fascinating actually to hear as well Maureen talk about the link to the dairy industry down in Cork there with the button factory. But my thanks to Andrew, Maureen and to Donna. And Donna told me that she's very, very keen to hear from any of you who may have memories, documents, objects, audio, video relevant to their museum, to get in touch with her by email info@northleitrimwomenscentre.ie, or you can search online Leitrim Women Through Time. It's very much worth trying to see that if you can.